Greetings, savory inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider, the unofficial podcast dedicated to recapping and reacting to AMC's Immortal Universe, including the Interview with the Vampire series and the Mayfair Witches. With both shows in hiatus, our co-hosts Christina LaRusso, Joanne Palumbo, and myself, Mark Snedeker, are engaging in fun discussions of vampire lore, deeper dives into the themes of the shows, and bringing in some special guests with particular expertise in and passion for the works of Anne Rice. Now join us for a discussion of some surprising news from Interview with the Vampire. Hello, Christina LaRusso. For this evening, Joni is, her laptop was bitten by a werewolf, so it's only going to be available once every 30 days.
That's correct. Joanne is going to be missing tonight. We're in the middle of recording an episode, and her computer crashed.
It exploded,
so
I think.
So we have to get her back up and running online, and in the meantime, you get Mark and me. This is tough, though, because it's like mom and dad.
We're missing an ingredient.
It's an empty nest right now.
So Joanne is our child? Is that how you see it?
I always feel that way.
Well, she's a little bratty. So I agree. Brat princess.
We are going to miss her sass. Tonight. We're going to miss her.
She's not dead. I mean, she'll come back next week.
I know. But I don't know why I'm making it sound so dire, but it is what it is. All right.
Well, we want her to feel missed.
Yes. We are going to, for this episode, talk about the latest news that is hitting the fandom, and that
which has rocked the fandom, I think is fair to say.
And truly has. Came out, I think, on the, it was like the 31st, in the evening of the 31st. So it was kind of cusping on April Fool's Day.
And that, honestly, that made things even more confusing, so.
Yeah. Variety released this online March 31st at 5:59 Pacific time. Interview with a Vampire star Bailey Bass not returning as Claudia in season 2. So I'm going to read this.
Read the statement.
Interview with the Vampire star Bailey Bass won't be continuing in the role of Claudia in season 2 of the AMC Network's show. Delaney Hales will take over the role. Production on season 2 will begin next week in Prague, and the show will also shoot in Paris and New Orleans. Due to a variety of unforeseen circumstances, I'm unable to return to Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire for the second season, Bass said in a statement. Playing Claudia has been a dream role and an incredible ride. I wish Delaney the best of luck in taking over. I cannot wait to watch. I am extremely appreciative of AMC, the producers, Jacob, Sam, the crew, and, of course, the wonderful fans. A spokesperson for AMC added, Bailey Bass is a talented actor who did a remarkable job bringing the character of Claudia to life in Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire. For a variety of reasons, Delaney Hales will appear as Claudia in season 2. We are grateful for Bailey's unforgettable performance in season 1 and wish her nothing but the best. Interview with the Vampire marked Bass's series starring debut. She recently appeared as Thyrea in James Cameron's Avatar, The Way of Water, and will reprise that role in the franchise's upcoming installments. Hale's credits include The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on London's West End, ITV's Too Close, and Holby City on the BBC. She joins the season 2 cast, including Jacob Anderson, Sam Reed, Eric Bogosian, Asad Zaman, and Ben Daniels, who will be playing Santiago. Hales is rep by James Beresford at the Artists Partnership.
Why do we care about that?
That's
right. It's trade rag.
It's a trade paper.
All right. So I know a lot of people are speculating, you know, is she just doing this because she's filming for Avatar 11 or whatever it is ramping up? Or is she doing it to possibly carve out time to become a permanent guest host here on our podcast? which do you think it might be?
I think that it has something to do with Avatar.
Or possibly our podcast.
Okay, I mean, I'm just going to stick with Avatar.
Well, Bailey, if you find yourself just kicking around, not doing anything, give us a call. We'd be happy to bring you on.
Oh, my God.
What? All right, so hot take, Christina.
I think that it's going to be fine.
I think that's what they're going for. In fact, when they invested these millions of dollars and years of their lives, they're like, guys, we just want to make it fine.
No, okay, but we have never been led wrong by these casting directors. Name a poorly cast character in that show. There's none. Down to the smallest of parts.
Right.
They've
bang on.
Nailed it. So they've chosen this woman for a reason. She's obviously going to be able to step into those shoes. I've seen some interesting takes online that I want to discuss in a little bit more depth.
Do they involve her joining our podcast?
No, that's your take, Mark. No one else has that take. Well, that's only you.
That's because it's got to start somewhere.
No, Mark. Weirdo. Huh? All right, so I think this is going to be okay. And there have been other times when shows have recast.
I've got a couple of them in mind.
And we'll talk about that. But anyway, what is your hot take?
It'll be fine. I mean, first of all, she's dying next year.
She was
pretty sure. We're pretty sure she was dying next year. I agree that Bailey was great, but first of all, she's not the main character. She's a main character, right? But she's not the main character. If you tried to replace Louis or Lestat, that would be a big problem, right? Because she just hasn't had the screen time the other two have. She's not as indelibly stamped into our minds for that role. Although, definitely when I'm thinking about Claudia in this show now, you know, I'll immediately picture Bailey until I don't.
Yeah.
No, Bailey until I don't, right? Until that changes. So I think that's a big challenge for Delaney coming in because, of course, Bailey did great and there's already going to be some percentage of the fans that are going to be worked up about that. But I suspect it's also the percentage of the fans that complained about everything else too, right? The time switch, the race switch, the sexuality, you know, whatever, not being true enough to the books. So I'm not super worried about that. You know, like you said, the showrunners have given us every reason to have confidence in their choice and their execution. But I don't know anything about the new actress. But she's coming into me, you know, as a blank slate, and we'll just see how it goes.
So I will take issue with you on saying that, you know, Claudia isn't really a main character.
What I said.
What did you say?
I said she's not the main character.
Okay.
Which I think is the co-main character, Louis and Lestat. I'm not saying she wasn't a main character. She clearly is number three, right? In terms of screen time and story focus, et cetera. She's important, no doubt. But can you imagine having this calm of discussion if they were replacing
Sam Reed?
No. Of course not.
Let's say they would say we're...
Or Jacob.
We're replacing Sam Reed with Tom Cruise. Well,
you would just throw yourself off a roof. too much checker cake and boom, right off the roof.
I would. No, I get it. But I also think that Bailey did so much with that role.
And she did a great job.
And look, it was a totally different character than the Claudia that Kirsten Dunst played. However,
necessarily, right?
Had to have been. But for me, I was very skeptical of accepting a teenage Claudia. And we know that because I spoke about it. But Bailey did such a great job. And by the time we were a couple of episodes into Bailey, I was like, yes, this makes such great sense. And it opens things up in such a way. Bailey, as a 14-year-old, can do so much more with that character.
And it decreepifies it a little bit.
It does. But also, you commented on her when we talked about her, I think, in episode 4. You said something about her being a catalyst, and she 100% is. And Bailey was a perfect catalyst.
Yeah.
The way she inhabited that role, the way she went from young child
without changing physical appearance really at all, slight wardrobe change,
but she didn't, you know, she looked the same. She had to look the same. So she, just the way that she portrayed that sort of inner character and let that shine through. I will dearly, dearly miss her as an actress.
And I feel a little bit bad because, honestly, next season is going to have way more opportunities for the Claudia character to really act, right? Because she's going through some shit next year. She's going to Paris. You know, it's her and Louis. She's then going to be, you know, I mean, not to spoil it for you guys, but this book has been out for 20 years or 30 years.
Since 76, Mark. Yeah. You suffer from old person's memory. I know.
Since this book has been out for like a month and a half. Come on, you guys. Catch up. It's still on the bestseller list, I think.
Oh, my God.
But assuming that everything goes the way we think it will, you know, she's going to be battling against the coven. That's a lot of... Now, you have to die, but, you know, sometimes dying...
Oh, but that would have been epic. And also, there will be a time where Claudia will have to, in the coming season, recognize that she's losing Louis to Armand.
Yeah.
And in a way that she never lost Louis to Lestat.
Right.
And then she's going to have to grapple with that. And Madeline will have to factor into this somehow.
It's going to be a challenge for her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think another big acting challenge is when Claudia finally does meet her fate, you want the audience to be way invested.
Oh, yeah.
Which is obviously easier if you've seen her in the same exact actor in that role continuously. So
yeah.
It's just going to be tricky. But again, I have, you know, really 95% faith in the showrunners that they're going to pull this off.
So Delaney has ahead of her, and she can do it because look, Bailey did it. Yeah. Bailey won people over and gained an emotional buy-in from the fans. I mean, Claudia has a lot of fans many fans who buy in emotionally, are really invested in her story.
Sure.
And that that, of course, it's Anne Rice's character, but it's the way that Bailey brings her to life. And so Bailey was able to do that. I have no reason to think that Delaney will not be able to do that.
But then again, we also don't have super strong reason to know that she will.
Well, we don't know.
You just have to trust the casting director,
but
right?
But you're right. By the time she's wearing that yellow dress, you need the audience to really be invested in her. I think that the audience has to feel the loss of her.
I agree.
And, you know, look at how strong they're feeling the loss of Bailey.
Oh,
can you imagine if they had to watch Bailey play death?
Oh, well, I mean, but that would be very powerful, of course, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you that next season is going to be a huge season
absolutely.
For Claudia.
I mean, obviously for Louis too, but, you know, Jacob's a pro. He's been in that role since the show began, so we're not really concerned about his ability to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see Armand come forward and see how
that
goes.
That's the other thing that is disappointing to me, because I really would have loved to have seen
Antonio Banderas.
Assad and Bailey together.
Yeah.
Because Bailey's Claudia by the time they're leaving New Orleans. Number one, she's pissed at Louis.
Right.
We know that because she knows that the job is not done. She knows that Lestat is not dead.
Yeah.
And then second of all, once she sees Armand, she gets on to Armand. Claudia, little Claudia in the books, understands what's going on with Armand.
Sure.
And that Armand is after.
And it's sad because they could have really bonded over their love of murder.
You know? They really could have. They had so much in
common.
They did.
They're like, I'm a goblin, you're a goblin. let's hang out.
Let's goblin together.
Yeah, let's go down the Champs-Élysées and eat some people.
All right, so what are some of the issues that you think they face? We obviously getting the emotional buy-in from the audience, but what are some of the other issues that they face, do you think?
Of course, you hope, and I think that this, again, we're dealing with such pro actors that I'm pretty confident, but not all actors have chemistry with each other.
True.
You know, and she had very good chemistry with both Sam and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to hope that Delaney comes in, it won't be the same chemistry, but has great chemistry. I actually think the fact that we're probably going to be dealing with a gap of years in the next season, that it won't seem as strange that she will have changed somewhat as it might if it was just picking up the next day, right? Mm-hmm. If it was the same situation as replacing Aunt Vivian on The Fresh Prince, where it's like one week she's this lady, next week she's that lady,
mm-hmm.
right? That's more jarring, but now you're going to have some passage of time, presumably, until they go to France, and it won't be as jarring.
And you're talking about Janet Hubert Witten, who was the original Aunt Viv.
Yes.
On The Fresh Prince.
Who apparently hated Will Smith.
Hated Will Smith, had terrible, terrible vibes with Will Smith and quit. And then Daphne Maxwell Reed came in and finished off the last several seasons of the show.
Here's one I want to test you with really quick. Mm-hmm. What is diphalia?
Diphalia?
Or diphallus even.
Diphallus. I have no idea.
Two dicks.
Oh, the Dick Sargent and Dick York. Yes, but probably, I don't know if any of our listeners will know about.
Some of them
Bewitched.
Will.
I hope.
So,
all right. So we're talking about
in the middle
Darren
of,
Stevens
that's
in,
right.
In Bewitched. Bewitched.
So in the middle of Bewitched, which is a pretty successful show back mm-hmm. in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband of Samantha, the the witch.
Who was originally Dick York.
He apparently had a bag back.
Yes.
Which I don't know.
From a movie. He was on a movie and he had a bad back, so he couldn't
do... Did he star in that fish movie with Don Knotts or something?
I don't know.
What kind of stunts is he doing?
I have no idea.
All right. So, but yeah, then they switched him to Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
And just, you know, we were just like... And I was a kid when I noticed that. And, of course, I didn't watch it in the original runs. I was a little young for that, shockingly. But, you know,
in
even
the
70s, in the reruns.
In the
and
reruns.
You're like, wait, who's that guy?
But I never did. I never realized it. And here's the wild thing. It was all mixed up.
Yeah,
all the seasons were mixed up.
All the reruns
so
were all...
So one day when you're watching it in reruns, you could have Dick York. Yeah. And then the very next day, it's an episode with Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
One's in black and white.
Right.
One's in color.
You're like,
you just didn't know. And I, dummy me, I'm like, well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, of course, I was like 5, 6, 7.
I was going to say, you're definitely not in line to win the Fenton Hardy Top Detective Award because you didn't even know they switched actors on you.
Definitely not.
Unfortunately, in that case, it was kind of the beginning of the end of the show. Like they went a couple more years and they just fizzled.
Well, that's same with Fresh Prince, but it kind of
I don't think that was because, that was just because Will Smith was almost 30, I think, at that point.
Yeah, you can't really play teenager anymore. Yeah. All right, and then, but okay. How are they going to, what kind of struggle are they going to have though with the narrative? Can you see any?
They're not going to mention it at all.
Presumably the conceit of this is that you get Louis' side of the story.
Right.
And then at some point you get Lestat's side of the
story. Oh, it definitely complicates it in the sense of they're limited in what kind of flashbacks they can use.
Flashbacks, right.
No, they're going to have to reshoot that shit.
They're going to have to reshoot some stuff, right? So either that. Well, they are. They're just going to have to reshoot some things. And what I think could be interesting, and I saw this online, and this is a person who is somebody that I follow and enjoy a lot, AB Negative, at Ant B Neg. And they said, I think there are so many deliberate continuity issues in the flashback scenes anyway that there are ways that they could make this a part of the story.
I mean, that's an interesting take.
But I think that they can do this with memory. Because memory is a monster. And someone, I can't remember who said this, said that it wouldn't be unimaginable that with this amount of time, the memory of what Claudia looked like might have faded.
Yeah.
But there are photographs of her.
Yeah, I think they're going to pretend it didn't happen. You know, it doesn't exist, that problem doesn't exist. So they're just not going to be able to flashback to scenes from the first season because it's just too, that's asking way too much of the audience.
Yeah.
Because it would just throw you right out of the story and you'd be sitting there just going, wait, what? Fuck? Huh?
Yeah. Bailey, where does
no chance.
Know, yeah.
No chance.
They're going to have to not do, they're not going to have, I guess they're not, they're going to have to ignore that. I don't know. It's possible.
Unless they can CGI or something, but you know, that would also be very gimmicky and bad. I think that the writers are clever enough that they'll find a way around it.
So already I'm seeing also some takes in the fandom where people are saying, I'm just not going to watch it now.
Bye.
And
that's so dumb, right? First of all, they have no idea how it's going to go. If you think that Bailey Bass was the only thing holding that show together, you didn't really watch very carefully. I mean, she was great, but she's not the straw that stirs the drink necessarily. Well, okay, kind of she was.
She definitely was a catalyst,
she was, but that's the character. Mm-hmm. The actor was great, but if you have no idea how the next actor is going to do, you know, like I'm not interested in hearing your whining that you're not going to watch the show. First of all, I don't believe you.
That's right? It. See, to me now, okay, you're
dramatic and edgy.
Now, this illustrates the difference between you and I, right? Because my instinct is to go, oh, I feel bad that you feel bad, but also stop it. Give this actress a chance.
And mine is to attack them personally.
You're like, you're dumb.
You are
And I'm like, oh, come on.
Nope.
You know?
I have no sympathy or soft feelings for those people.
I just think they won't not watch it. They will watch
it. I think even Bailey Bass's parents will still watch the new show. Okay?
Maybe. Maybe they weren't.
Their daughter's doing, it's not like their daughter got fired, right?
Okay, well, that's
like, they're like, you know what? We'll go watch her in the billion-dollar blockbusters from now on.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fine.
I think that people will still watch it. I think that there is going to be some hand-wringing, and I think that I don't think it's all performative. I think some of it is real, that some people are really disappointed to lose her.
Well, and we're disappointed
to
lose her, but we're not to the point where we're rending our garments and gnashing our teeth, right? We're like, okay, let's see how Delaney does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're prepared to, you know, cheer her on.
And I think that that's important to do, right? Because I think that there will be a tendency for people to like, God, the bar is really high for her. Bar is high anyway. And if the fans are not supportive, and we have seen how this fandom can be.
They can be vicious.
This fandom can be really intense. Yeah. And they, for a plethora of reasons, there's a whole segment of the book fandom who doesn't even like the television series. I don't get that. I don't get how you can have something that...
Well, I think if you ever read the 17th book by Anne Rice, Fandom the Devil, you would know exactly what's going on with these people.
Fandom the Devil.
She's like, they're writing stories about my stories. I'm not going to stand for that. They're whiny. They're morose. They're mopey.
All things that she loved.
She did love that. She loved every bit of that,
absolutely,
please.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's speculate a little bit about why she's not going to be there for the next season. I think the clear leading answer right now is she's getting ready for Avatar 11 or whatever the next one is. There's
Do you buy that?
Yeah, I do. Because there's no evidence that she had any kind of drama with any of the cast or the showrunners or vice versa. They all were wishing each other well. They specifically said what a great job she did and they wished her well. Now, does that happen sometimes when someone gets shit canned from a show? Maybe, but I think usually they say things like, Ms. Bass has decided to pursue other opportunities, right? That means she got fired. But she has this other opportunity where she's already been involved.
That's what they've essentially said.
Yeah.
There are unforeseen circumstances and...
Now, I don't know how a billion-dollar movie is unforeseen.
It's an unforeseen circumstance. And that's what trips me up. That's the only thing that's giving me pause here. I feel like, I feel like there could be more to this story.
Could be.
And here's why I think that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I was writing the PR for this and it was...
Avatar. Yeah.
I would simply say due to scheduling conflicts,
right,
Miss Bass is unable to fulfill her duties.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? Like, there may have been delays in this process.
As we learned last week, Interview has a very long shooting schedule for a TV show.
There's a possibility that it was that there was this like long stretch because of COVID and delays and things like that. But God, she knew when they were going to be starting. She was in Paris, I think, on her Instagram posting about being in Paris and being so excited. And now suddenly she has an unforeseen circumstance?
Maybe so. But my general impression is Hollywood and the show business industry in general is not very professional.
Hmm.
Can you imagine in your job if you went over budget by triple what you were allowed to spend? If you were 2 years late on delivering your project, they're just not very professional because they don't feel like they have to be. All they have to do is be creative. But their professionalism, in my opinion, is probably lacking.
Strong words, Mark.
Well, I mean, and I believe it. And first of all, while Me Too incidents certainly happen in the corporate world, no doubt about it, feel like they happened way more in the entertainment world because everybody's just kind of like, hey, it's just entertainment, man. We're partying. We're having fun. You know, we're stars. You know, rules don't apply to us, whatever. So can you imagine actors showing up on time to every meeting? I would, if you had to guess, are they going to be early or late for this meeting? I would guess they blow in about an hour late. So I think that it's very possible that the Avatar people, okay, we saw how the second movie did. We're moving up shooting because we still have, because they have other stars they have to coordinate with. They're shooting now. Yeah.
Avatar.
And maybe that ran long. Yeah. And the showrunners aren't going to say, well, we'll just hang out and wait for you. Because they're already making us wait longer than I should personally have to wait anyway.
What, for Interview to come?
Yeah.
Yes, because now I saw in one of the articles that I was reading about Bailey leaving, it said coming in 2024.
Yeah.
No.
And what did
no,
I say?
No. Yeah. I want it to be in 2023,
But what did I just say about the show business industry?
Tell me about it. Look.
Very unprofessional.
Well, or, you know, I mean, I guess there can be things like COVID happening. That was a particularly.
Fuck you guys. You make it happen. Did you get to not do your job for 3 years? Well, you did have some slackage.
I mean.
You had a little bit of slackage there. Yeah. But I had to go to my work every fucking day. When COVID was happening, because I don't make money otherwise, right? The rest of us still had to work, and they have more resources than most. Quarantine your whole set. I don't care. Make it happen.
Okay. You know? Wow. All right. Again, strong words,
Mark.
And
by the way, we're past that now, right? You can't blame COVID now.
No, I know. I'm not blaming COVID. I'm not blaming COVID now. But I'm gonna say it won't surprise me. I'll believe what they say because I have no other reason not to believe it.
Yeah.
And maybe we will never know.
Right.
But I'm going to guess that, like, for instance, Aunt Viv's beef with Will Smith did not come out immediately.
Oh, no.
I don't think
this is like this is 30 years later, right?
Yeah. So I.
Or last month.
I will not be surprised to find out that there is some sort of something else that
maybe
that occurred. And I hope that it. You hope
it's not episode 5.
Well, that would be terrible. But I also hope that it wouldn't be to do with salary dispute.
Not to downplay her character, but she's not the main character. She's a main character. She's number 3. This is not the Claudia Chronicles, mm-hmm. right? This is Louis' story and his relationship with Lestat. Claudia is an important component of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not downplaying that at all. But she's not going to get Lestat money. She should get as much money as she can get, right? I'm sure she made more than anybody else in that show, except for Jacob and Sam. And that's how it should be. They are the stars of the show. They're the name. First of all, they have bigger names than she did.
Right. More experience, certainly.
They're a bigger part of the story. Mm-hmm. And they're going to continue into season 3. And she is not.
She's done in season 2. Yeah. All right. So let's talk. Then a little bit about Bailey's greatest hits.
Okay. You know my favorites.
Just a little bit of a retrospective of Bailey. First of all, I think that the scene where we find out that she's a serial killer.
Yeah, where they found a boob in a drawer.
Mm-hmm. And the man who is still in her cupboard.
Yeah,
and
rolls out of the closet.
She's trying to change people and she can't do it. I thought that whole episode was just... outstanding performance by her. I also really loved the final sort of as she aged and she became this more mature, sneaky person. And they were playing the chess game.
Right.
And
I was just going to say the chess game. I thought she handled that. I thought that was very subtle acting on her part.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited by that scene because I just thought it was super interesting. And it was a really great turning point in her relationship. Not with Lestat, but to Lestat.
Mm-hmm.
She got an upper hand there.
Mm-hmm.
And she figured out one of his weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. Which is gluttony, basically. He can't resist going in for the kill. He has no self-restraint. And that's how she beat him in that game. And it was just very well acted. Of course, Sam was brilliant, blah, blah, blah.
I thought also the scene where they're interrogating Lestat, when they're thinking about letting him come back into the house, the home, I thought that she was great there just because she was really telegraphing
her cynicism,
incredulity. Right. Yeah. And I thought she wasn't overacting where by comparison, when she was playing the 14-year-old Claudia, very young Claudia, she was very wild.
Right. And Joanne like that.
Joanne hated that. But we were both like, hang on.
That's how a teenager would
that
have.
That is teenager energy.
Yeah. Hey, you're a teenager. You're going through puberty. And now you have superpowers.
I know.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is just so much that she did so well.
I would probably be that annoying if you gave me superpowers today.
Yes, you do.
I would just be
you
running
also
around.
Have teenager energy, Mark. For sure you do.
I would just be running around like,
for
hey,
sure.
You want me to fly to the store and get you some milk? I'll be right back. Whoosh.
What about you? Any other?
Well, I thought her relationship with the carriage driver, what was his name again?
Charlie.
Yeah, with Charlie was very interesting because that was a tricky thing to play, right? Because she's 14, but not really 14. And she wants to, do what teenagers want to do, right? She wants to experiment sexually. And accidentally killed her prom date. But I thought she did a very good job with that, too, because it could have really been just over the top and gross, and it wasn't, right? She seemed to have the right amount of strong curiosity, but also innocence and lack of knowledge, even though she's a cold-blooded killer.
I agree. The only thing that I was not a fan of was, and this isn't on Bailey at all. It was what the writers wrote in, which was sort of this
conversation during sex.
Well, that was weird, but no. When she said, I feel like they made me because they wanted Louis to have a sister.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like that's an accurate, I don't think that that was it.
But no, it's really always been a strange paternal love
interest, but object. I don't get that she's a love object.
Oh, not in the TV show. No, you're right.
It wasn't either sister. It wasn't sisterly. It was one of Louis just needing someone that will be there.
Yeah.
That is his. That he can love.
Yeah. So it was clearly a quasi parental relationship right from the get go, and since they decided, probably rightly, not to introduce the romantic aspect, really, with the exception of her. Didn't she say it one time?
Well, which one of you is going to fuck me?
Right, yeah.
And obviously Louis isn't interested
in Louis's like,
her.
Whoa, Jesus Christ, no. I mean, Lestat, I'm a cold-blooded killer and probably a devil, but I'm not that bad.
No, but Lestat goes, I prefer fuller figures.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Pretty good answer, Lestat.
God. Wow. Cut her to the quick.
You're all too skinny for me.
Oh, my God. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what is coming up on future Vampire Insider episodes.
Well, lay it out for us, producer lady.
All right. So what we have coming up is we're going to do some deep dives into each of the Interview with the Vampire episodes. So we're going to go back now with the benefit of hindsight. We know where everything is going to end up in season one. We're going to go back and re-examine each episode and do a little bit more of a deep dive around a theme.
Right.
And so we've got episode one, which is halfway finished.
Yeah, until Joanne's computer committed seppuku.
We're going to look at identity.
Yeah.
Because we felt that identity was a key theme that was in episode one.
And that
one
may pop up again as we move forward. We'll see.
I'm sure it will. Well, I mean, listen. Interview with a Vampire is one long existential
identity crisis.
Yeah. So I think that it makes sense to start with that. We may stretch these out. So everybody seemed to really enjoy our episode where we got into deep dive with Erica.
Right.
And then we are going to have another episode coming up soon. I just have to coordinate the dates with Erica returning as a guest and at Creative Spoonie, who is a friend also on Twitter. And the two of them are going to talk with us about speculation for season two.
I'm ready for that.
And in particular, speculation around the Louis Armand relationship and what is going on there. And where does Daniel fit in? We really want to know what is going on with Armand, Daniel, and Louis. So another triangle. This is a show about triangles. So I think we'll leave it there and invite you to come and follow us on Twitter. We are at @vampire_insider for our podcast page. I am at @ChristinaGenX and Mark is at @MarkEatsPeach. Joanne is at @JustBlockMe_1. All right. I'm going to say bye.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.